You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way, because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
How are you doing?
This is the movie show.
On Active TV.
My name is Sej.
I'm Ryan.
And we have a guest. We know this guest.
Can you guess? Can you guess the guest?
Can you guess the guest?
My appearance didn't really change in the last 5 years.
According to Tabo, who's standing behind the camera right now, he was shocked. He was like, dude, you didn't age.
Didn't even age one day.
So this is Ezra. Ezra is an actor.
Yeah. Yes.
And we've actually had the privilege of working with Ezra. We made a film. Well, it was a very long process, actually. That film.
Yes,
that
it
film,
was.
It was a lockdown film.
Yes,
so
it
we
was.
Started before lockdown, and then we had to do ADR during lockdown.
Yes, we did.
And then it came out. Yeah. So, and Ezra was actually the main role for that film. I remember your audition, actually, for the film.
Oh, yeah?
Because we didn't know you before that point.
Yes, yes.
And then Ezra came and you auditioned. I just remember being like, wow, this man can act. And then, he can act. I vouch for him.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, yeah.
It's weird because for me, I didn't know you before, you know, the whole thing that we filmed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always see you as that, as the actor.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
Oh, you got used to the character.
Yeah, you just got used to the character. Like, who is Ezra?
I'm like Ezra.
Okay, can we now have the character's name was Bryson. Ryan's like, okay, now enough of Ezra.
Bryson,
where's Bryson?
Exactly.
How's Bryson doing?
Where's Bryson doing now? Yeah. Is he in the military? What's going
what
on now?
So Ezra's actually been out and about doing incredible things. Five years have passed since the last time we encountered Ezra. Yeah. So we are interested to find out what is going on and where life has taken you.
All right. So it started, by the way, for the Amnesiacs film that we did. The first project I ever did as an actor made me fall in love with the whole process and being an actor. So I have Sash and the whole crew to thank for that. I wouldn't know that if I didn't start there. So I'm very appreciative for that. And then right after COVID happened, well, we're still wearing masks, but we were wearing masks for a while.
Yeah.
Up until, I think, 23 or so. So I ended up going to Doha, Qatar for a little bit. My father went there for the World Cup, and I just kind of tagged along because he gave birth to me. So
why wouldn't you tag along if one of your family members is going overseas?
Exactly.
I'm like, I'm there.
So I went with them, and I got into the theater scene over there. Shout out to the Doha Players, my family in the Middle East. It was an incredible experience. Same thing, went to go audition for a side role, ended up getting the main role in my first time.
It's crazy.
It was just incredible. Like, my director, her name is Jane Williams. She was in the West End for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
She's started teaching acting now in Doha at her own, like, a little academy. She was directing me in my first play. It was, compared to anything I've did before, it was a huge production. It was Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief musical. We did our rendition of it. I think ours is better than the one they have on YouTube.
Nice.
We had an amazing journey with that. That was at the end of 2023. And then 2024, last year, I did The Importance of Being Earnest, where we sold out the National Museum of Qatar for 3 nights.
Wow.
And that was also a breathtaking experience. And then I was lined up to play Aladdin at the end of the year. But then, unfortunately, I had to come back home to South Africa for, you know, other reasons. And now I'm here just kind of getting used to the African soil again and just finding my feet. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, that's my journey so far.
That's really cool. Okay, so my first question is film school. Mm-hmm. Right. So many people that are wanting to get in the film industry, wherever it is, the big question, especially when you step out of school, is do I go to film school?
Yeah.
I think there's reasons for it and reasons against it. Mm-hmm. Did you go to film school?
No, I did not, because I couldn't afford to go to film school. So I was kind of forced to take the hard route, the underground route of auditioning and then putting my image out there and then networking and yes. getting to know people. So if I had the opportunity to go and actually study drama, I would still love to. It's just about getting there financially and being able to be in a position where it makes sense for me to invest so much in it. Because yeah. that type of schooling is also very costly as well. Yeah. So I do not think that it is necessary, especially if you're starting out and building a name for yourself. But eventually, as you grow in it, I think it's very important, especially if you're a camera actor. It's very important to get into theater because that's where the real work is. Mm-hmm. That's where you perform the same thing twice a day, every week. And that's where the actor's grind is. Whereas with movies, that's all about the director and that's all about the production team and the editor. That's where they shine. Mm-hmm. So I would say that it's important for actors in that aspect, yes.
Nice.
That's crazy. All right, so how does the culture context of Qatar influence the types of stories that are told on stage there?
It is very, at least when I was still there, it might be changing now as time goes on, because when I was there, they were still relatively new. So there's a lot of filters that a story has to go through because of their strict culture. So in the play that I did, The Importance of Being Earnest, I was not allowed to touch hands with my love interest because they just wouldn't allow it. And certain words that you would use in regards to like another religion, like christening, we had to change that into something else. Baptize, we had to change that to something else. So they have a very firm hand on what they allow to be portrayed on stage. There was one recently that I know about where they were a lot more raw and they were able to portray like the relationship of an abusive uncle and stuff like that, but that's only if you are at like they invited you, you know, they brought you there to tell that story. Mm. Whereas with us, which were the local productions who were building something because we love doing it, it has to go through a lot of filters, and they can change anything that you do a week before the production that they deem is not okay to be on stage. So it is very strict, but hopefully they'll begin to loosen up a little bit and the industry will grow in time.
Crazy.
Sure. Okay, next question. What hobbies have you developed outside of acting or interest? So like, we all know that like, I mean, you need to love what you do and there needs to be obsession with that because that, you know, is passion. But is there like any hobbies or interests outside of acting that maybe has aided you in acting, or, you know, it's just provided maybe a bit of relief at times that has helped you, yeah, as a person?
Yes, and the number one answer would be singing. As soon as I went to Qatar, I started singing. I joined a music school, I should say, because they do have grades that you go through, yes. and you can either go there just for vocal training or whatever. But when I went there, it was with the intention, because I already taught myself how to play the guitar before I went. So my intention was to go for guitar. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, let me see if I can sing. Let me just go try. And then I met my vocal instructor, and she was such an angel. Her name is Jasmine Salvo. She's from the Philippines. She's an amazing singer. She studied at university for it.
Sure.
She really helped build me from the ground up. And I was one of her favorites to end up working with eventually. And yes, it did help me in my acting because I got into the musical, yeah. Percy Jackson. So, yeah, it just developed into a whole another love for me. And those are my two obsessions right now, singing and acting.
And acting.
Yeah.
So, sure. Have you seen, so the most recent one that was done is A Complete Unknown with Timothée Chalamet. But I find it always interesting where you see these very like big actors take on singing roles. So like he did yeah. Bob Dylan. You had Austin Butler do Elvis.
Yeah.
And
Scarlett Johansson in the animation Sing.
Yes, actually. Yeah. Actually, and there's actually, it's always shocking, but you often find these big actors can sing.
Yeah.
Like the people that you least expect.
Yeah. That you least sing. Expect.
You find
yeah.
out that they're like professional. Like, yes, they're
and
good.
And oftentimes they're very good at imitating other singers. So like yes. when Timothée Chalamet has to play Bob Dylan, they actually do a very good yeah. job.
Austin Butler, Elvis.
He was crazy. Yeah. He was mad. I was just like, wow.
I watched that movie twice in the theater.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no, that was a very good film. So
yeah, it was.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
Tell us about any challenges or rewards of pursuing theater, specifically in Qatar.
Challenges and rewards. The challenges is that the money that you make off the ticket sales is from the business, and then everything else is from the volunteers. So the challenges are finding people who have the time to put in to building props, managing the stage, doing lighting, doing the mic checks, the camera work, everything. The reward is you put so much sweat into it. When it's over and you get the audience clapping at the end and they come to you after you come out and they're like, I've never seen that character from that perspective before. I loved your sure. performance. That really pays everything off. Like for me, I do enjoy acting. I enjoy everything about it. It's something that I would choose to do until I die because I love it so much. But at the end, when you have people who acknowledge what you did and see things that you didn't even think they would see, that is the greatest compliment ever.
That's nice.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Who is your favorite actor and why? Tough one.
That is a tough one.
It's like there's so many. Damn.
Exactly. I have a Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So one of them would be Denzel Washington.
Nice.
I love him because of the work that he does, the person that he is, but more importantly, his side of just being able to put so much into the next generation.
Yeah.
Like he had a big influence on getting Austin Butler into
yes.
being Elvis.
Yeah.
And he paid Chadwick Boseman's university fees for him to study acting. So yeah, I just love. And then the next one is Tom Hanks.
Classic.
His humor is so dry and everything that he does is like, I don't know, there's a certain white man charisma about him that no one else has. I don't understand it. I just love Tom Hanks. And then my third one would be Tom Hardy. His range amazing.
Yeah.
Like he can play down here and he can play up here. He can play Venom. He can play like a normal street gangster and then he goes into Bane. Like I don't get it, but I love it.
Yeah.
And then my last one would be Hugh Jackman. Like he's just an all-rounder. He can do theater. He can do musical.
Sure. Yeah, true.
He can do film. He can do Wolverine. He can do a father who's searching for his children. He's the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
Like I watch his interviews and I'm like, he told a story about his bike being stolen and he was like, well, I hope the guy got a nice meal from it. Like he's just the nicest person ever. So yeah, that would be my Mount Rushmore of favorite actors.
Very cool. Very solid.
A solid list.
Solid mount.
There we go.
Yeah. I think with Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah.
What is his name again?
Hugh Jackman.
I just disappeared for a second. I think I was shocked to see him in another role. I was like, wait, is that Wolverine?
Yeah.
Wait, is this the Wolverine? Nah.
And then he opened his mouth and sang.
Yeah.
He was just like,
exactly.
And I mean, he did Les Mis.
Yes.
Like, you can't just do Les Mis.
No, you can't. Yeah.
And then when you see him as Wolverine back again, it's still hard to still picture
to comprehend
that
he was there
you're
and
like,
now he's
you
here.
Can't.
He's one of my all time favorites, man.
Crazy,
like,
crazy.
And that's the thing. He started out as a theater kid. They got him the Wolverine role to audition for, and his wife was like, "This isn't you."
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, you're snarling. There's like knives coming out of your fists. What's going on? And then
he auditions, and it's like, this is the
that's
guy.
The one. Yeah.
This is the guy.
That's
wow.
the guy. I love it.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Crazy. So are there any unique theatrical traditions or styles in Qatar that differ significantly from what's common here?
Oh, I wouldn't know because the only time I've done theater is in Qatar. But one of the... What was the premise of the question?
So are there any unique traditions or
unique
styles?
Traditions, right. So just theater in general, because majority of the people are foreign anyway. The one that still stays in my mind is not saying Macbeth, because apparently that's like bad luck.
Oh, wow.
To say Macbeth before a theater show. So like one of the guys I was acting with, his name is Michael Voigt. He's so funny and so talented. He told me the story because he's done theater work before and has produced a movie before that is put in musical, movie festivals and stuff like that. So he was like, just don't say it. So I was like, don't say what? So then he was like, you know.
The name we do not mention.
Exactly, the name we do not mention, Macbeth. So I was like, being the person that I am, I was like, that's interesting. So why can't I say Macbeth?
Oh my gosh.
Like, no. Exactly, I was like, no.
And theatrical, wow. Also opera singers, they're so superstitious. Like,
I would imagine
they're
so.
The most superstitious bunch. So now everyone's just like.
Exactly.
No!
All of these different like spirits that left the theater all these years ago.
Still hanging around when you call their name.
Exactly, when you're gone. So like that would be the number one that I remember.
That's
otherwise,
crazy.
Normal tomfoolery of theater kids, man. Like vocal warm-ups, everything. I do my thing. Someone joins in.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm just free to be a theater kid, which is awesome.
Well, I think it was quite cool that you said that most of them are foreigners as well. So it's like, it wasn't like you were a foreigner there.
No.
You were all just...
It was right at home. It was me, South African. We got Kenyan, Uganda, English, Australian, American, Nigerian.
Also Filipino?
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest one.
That's cool.
Like, I do not understand how the Filipino people are so talented with art. I haven't met a single Filipino in Qatar that cannot sing. Like, it's actually nuts. It's like, they are so talented music-wise, art-wise.
Wow. Sure.
They gave me a run for my money.
It's nice to be in that environment, though.
Yes.
Because you become where you are, type of thing. So
exactly.
If you're hanging around with those type of people,
you
all just like... I think that's why the community and the networking thing is so important, especially in, like... an artistic industry.
Yes.
It's because you all like spur each other on and inspire one another.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I miss having there, because there it was a proper environment, like community. I have to find one here in South Africa now. The like, way I can do this.
Great one.
All the best. Create one would be great. Okay, talking about historical figures. Not that Macbeth is a historical figure, but anyway, that was just it was a nice lead on. If you could have dinner with any historical figure, who would it be?
Oh, only one?
Only one.
Only one. Who would I have it with? Genghis Khan. I would like to know. They kidnapped your wife and you built an army. And then you just decided, I can conquer everyone. I would just like to know what led him to that decision.
It's like John Wick on steroids.
Exactly, yeah. He's the original John Wick.
He just
built up his army. So like, immediately off my head, Genghis.
The power of being a wife.
Exactly.
Maybe it was her, you know. She was like, well, since you...
You might as well,
you know. Like,
just go ahead.
I think it was just realized potential. Hey?
Yeah, actually, like, what am I
like
doing with my life?
I like this power.
I wonder.
I like this power.
Can I?
Wow.
Sure. All right. And then are there any, like, particularly influential or innovative, like, companies there that are...
I would say ours, because they've been doing it for... They celebrated their 70th anniversary recently.
Sure.
70 years of doing community theater there, and just the work that they put into the art form is it's incredible. How many hours they put in there, the producers that put everything together, and the commitment from the directors. And then from another point of view, there was a government program that they started building right before I left that I got accepted into, which at the time was called the Music Lab. They might have changed it since. But when the World Cup started, all the entertainment had to come from outside because they didn't really have like the entertainment infrastructure themselves. So post World Cup, they were like, okay, the next time we have it, we want to have local people that can do it. So I got into that, I got accepted, and then I had to come back home. But they did High School Musical. I know they did that. And then with their other artists, they do like certain sessions for like conventions and stuff like that. But yeah, that would be the one that I'm most excited to see where they end up.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah. Nice.
Wow. Okay, next question. So talking about networking, and obviously we've already established it's super important in the film industry or the theatrical industry, but what are strategies you use to connect with other filmmakers or mentors or possible collaborators? Because I think one of the biggest challenges creatives face is getting connected, because you have to be connected.
Yeah, yeah.
And then getting connected with the right people. So like, what are some of the strategies you use, or what advice would you give to someone to like build up a good network? How did you do it there? What are you planning on doing here?
So what I did there is the exact same thing that I've always done and plan to continue doing here. And that is go to every single event that you can. Yeah, whether it's an audition, whether it's an actual networking function, whether it's something where they want to promote a certain project or want to get like crowdfunding in order to get certain things done, just go to everything and talk to as many people as possible. Like when you go for an audition, there's 10 people sitting next to you.
True.
Go ask them, what do you do? Where are you from?
Yeah.
Just get acquainted with everyone, exchange Instagram so that you know you have a connection to that person, because you never know, someone might drop out from a certain thing, people are in a panic and they'll be like, well, I know one person that I met here, let me just see if he'll be available for that day, and then, you know, the opportunity knocks and you'll be able to go for it. But yeah, I would say just, it's an old professional wrestling thing where they were like, when you're starting out, work everywhere. So for an actor, audition for everything. Go to any function that you can as much as possible. Stay on the road as much as possible.
And then for me now, I don't know if anybody else thought this, but when I thought of theater in the Middle East, I was like, that's strange. I don't know why. So obviously I've got some kind of wrong perspective.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But what does theater actually, what kind of role does it play that side?
Yeah.
Like amongst other people there?
Now, I think it's going to grow to a much larger thing, because there are, right before I left, there have been massive productions, either from a university or the local people who actually push proper funding into it, that put on these amazing storytelling shows of their culture in Arabic. Obviously, there are certain topics that people would like to touch that they prefer not to because of their culture and the image that they want to push out to the world. But I think eventually it will grow to a stage, because their culture is rich in art as well. Like, you go to the museum there, they've got proper film directors directing these things that they put up there. And all of their stories that they have to tell. Like, Qatar became an empire 50, 40 years ago. Like, they started building all of these things in the past 100 years. In 1912, they were like in these small groups of individual tribes, and it's like everything changed so quickly when it was their time to change. So I think there's going to be a lot that comes out of it within the years to come, and I think that if it doesn't, they're missing a huge opportunity, because they have so many good stories to tell.
Yeah. Well, okay, what are your career goals? We sort of know, like, okay, you want to now step into the industry this side. And how do you plan on achieving them?
So my career goal is to be in a position where I can do what I love to do full time without needing to worry on my financial status. So that would be number one. Whatever happens after that, we'll see if my goal changes from there. Like, as I am right now as a 23-year-old, I would like to get into a position where I can just be a full-time actor and grow into the industry, so that if I'm lucky enough to make it to 60, I can start teaching other people and I can bring other people up to whatever level I am in at that stage. And what was the second one? It was the goals end.
How do you plan on achieving it?
How I plan on achieving it is the networking strategy. Go to every single audition that I can do, network as much as possible, get involved in as much as I possibly can, even though I am working full-time at the moment. Just try and slither my way in for whatever obstacles might be in front of me, because I'll get there or I'll die trying. So that's mine.
Sure. And if I could add on to that, so getting into auditions. Mm-hmm. So if someone's like trying to step into the industry, right? Do you recommend that they go with an agency, mm-hmm. or is there ways you without an agency can find auditions? How do you work that whole audition process?
It's a tough one, because if you're just starting out and you have no connections whatsoever, I would say definitely join an agency, because they're the ones who know who to speak to in order to get you there. There are certain ways that you can, without being in an agency, whereas it will be either advertisements on social media, or you can join newsletters that will tell you when and where the auditions will be for yourself. But joining an agency and giving them that 20% of whatever they're going to pay you, it makes the workload a lot more accessible. So you will get a lot more, because there's a person specifically designed to look for jobs for you that work for that agency. So I would say, especially if you're starting out, join an agency so that you can get used to the industry, that you can see how everything works, the do's and the don'ts. And whether you get into a position where you think you're able to navigate that yourself is up to you, whenever that might be. But there are pros and cons in both, but I would lean towards more agency route, because the benefits of being there just takes that stress of searching off of you. And then you know someone is working, and then saying that you need to be at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, okay, I'll be there. Whereas you're looking and you're like, okay, this is in 2 months. So yeah. I would say that would be the better option.
And I'm sure you've learned a lot of lessons being in the industry, right?
Yeah.
So give us, I don't know, like top five lessons that you've learned.
Top five lessons learned.
Let's say someone's wanting to get into the industry and you're like, okay, because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say what are those tripod selfie stands? Get one of those, because you're going to have to do self-tapes. And if you can afford it, it's not necessary, but if you can afford it, get like a small microphone that you can sit here, because at certain angles, the camera has to either catch you in full body, half body, and you might be further away from your phone and microphone. So it would be to your advantage if you can get a microphone that you can just stick to your neck or whatever. And make sure that you have either a wall that's plain enough to be used as a backdrop, or to get like a curtain or whatever. Because they, especially for the people that do camera work, most of the time they're going to ask you to send in something before they call you in for a callback. So it'll be good for you to be prepared to do self-tapes in that way. Second one that I would say, don't be afraid to implement your own personal attributes into your work. Like one of the first courses that I did for acting was an online course with the Vancouver Film School. And the lecturer there, after I did my performance and sent it to them, said that I am very good at portraying vulnerability. And he said that is a very difficult thing to fake. So when it comes off, you can see if it's genuine or not. And he says, don't be afraid to be vulnerable on camera, because that's your strong suit. Other people had different attributes. Don't be afraid to push what you know you're good at, and then hiding what you're not good at, where you can still work on them, because it's important, but don't be afraid to push yourself. And then number three, I think, would be always keep communication with your agent and no one else. Because I got myself into a position where I got in trouble once, where I spoke to the director of the set, who was employing the agency, and I went to go give him information that I wasn't supposed to, and they became very upset because of that. So when they say talk to my agent, literally talk to your agent. Don't talk to anyone else about anything. Just they say they will handle the business aspect, let them handle the business aspect. And then number four, I think, would be it's always good to be constantly prepared. So in the morning, have a vocal warm-up, have your little monologues that you can run in through your head, because you never know when an opportunity might arise. And then when it does, it's easy for you because you can be like, oh, okay, I have this that I can just give to them and they can see whether they like it or not. And then number five would be, most of the time when you go into for an audition, the people know whether they want you or not within like the first 5 seconds. So it's not that you weren't good enough or your performance wasn't good enough. It's just that you weren't what they were looking for. So don't take it as seriously, because there are people that hate auditions because they're like, it's stressful, I really want to get this and stuff like that. Those are things that are out of your control. So just be at peace with yourself. Go in not expecting anything. And if they like you and they see that in you, they will take you. Mm. But if you're not their particular flavor, they won't. That doesn't mean that you're not good enough for the role. It just means that they found something else that they thought was better suited for it. So that would be my top five.
Sure. I actually really like that last one, because like as a director, you're not trying to reject people.
Yes.
But you're looking for something very specific.
Yeah.
And then the person that you find that in, it's not that they're better. It's just that they fit the criteria of that character.
Exactly.
So I like how that look as an actor to not go, I was rejected because I'm bad.
Yes.
But I was rejected because I didn't fit. Obviously, there's always, you can always hone skill.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, not to now give up on your acting dream because a director didn't. Yeah. Even for like models, like if you, because models also have to do auditions, like any, like, anything where you're trying to fit into a character or into an outfit or something, go, it's not me.
Exactly. Like, there's nothing wrong with chocolate ice cream. They just prefer vanilla. That's literally what it is.
Yeah.
So you'll find the right people that you need to find at the right time. The rejections, don't take it as a knock on yourself. Just use it as a window of opportunity, knowing that you have more time for someone else who actually wants you and needs you there.
Nice.
So that would be my top five.
Okay, last question.
Got it?
So 5-6 years ago, right? When you were starting out, you didn't know what to do, where to go, what to be, how to, whatever, right? What is one thing you wish someone had told you at that point that you've learned now? And you realize, sure, I really wish that advice I'd gotten back then, because,
That's a difficult one as well, because that's kind of like the question of what's the best advice you've ever been given and what's the worst advice you've ever been given.
Oh, you could go with that, you know.
Industry-wise, man.
Well, what advice would you give to someone who is in what you, the shoes you were in
6 years ago?
Yeah, what would be your advice to them?
My advice to them would be, don't compare yourself to someone else, because you don't know what they've been through to get to that position. So you are starting out. It doesn't matter. Like, I remind myself of this daily as well. Like, Billie Eilish blew up when she was 15. Morgan Freeman blew up when he was 50.
Yeah.
So it's all about you, yourself, and your journey. You want it bad enough. You will get there eventually. Don't feel jealous for someone else who got there sooner than you. Just focus on your own skills. As to give another example, as a fighter, you do certain things to prepare for your opponent, but most of your training is developing everything to get better by yourself, to be better than what you were yesterday. So there is a game plan to go into it, but all of your training is so that you can get better yourself. Mm. Approach it the exact same way. Don't try and focus on one thing because you know it worked for someone else. It might not work for you. So focus on what you can control and what you can work on, and then everything else will come in its own opportune time. Whether you wait for 3 months, whether you wait for 3 years, if you want it bad enough, you will get to a position where you're able to prove yourself and people will see.
That's great advice.
That's very good advice. Yeah. Very, very good advice. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you
this
for having me.
It's been a very interesting show, actually. Yeah, yeah, it's been nice to hear about the
other side.
Yeah, like theater in the Middle East. Who would have thought? But yeah, that was very, very cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
I wish you all the best. I know that you're going to do incredible things. One day we're going to be like, we know Ezra.
Yeah.
He
started here.
Yeah, so I wish you all the best with, you know, finding your feet here in the in the South African, but even beyond that. And it's nice that you actually have international, you've got work done internationally, which is also nice because you've tapped into other industries. So, we wish you all the best.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It has a very big pleasure. Yeah, so until next week.
Until next time.
Cheers.
Peace.
Like and subscribe.
Please take a photo for the thumbnail. Just so that you can.
Stay updated, stay entertained with ActiveFM on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Engage with us, like, post, comment, share them out, retweet, and repost. Spread the word. ActiveFM. Radio has never been better.
ActiveFM. Radio has never been better.